Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Your pastor's not here this weekend. They've gone for a little excursion, so keep them in prayer that they'll be back safe and sound. Should be back this next week early, and he'll be in the pulpit next Sunday, so be prepared for that. Let God bless you, minister unto you, amen. And it's always nice to get away as a pastor. I don't know if you've ever, you know, of course only pastors would know that, but it's nice to sneak away and hide somewhere sometimes. So, but it's nice to be able to be here with you today to preach the word. I got the call last Sunday and said, hey, you available? I said, I'm always available for this congregation and for preaching the word of God. Y'all are wonderful people, amen? Amen? You might as well brag on yourself. You're wonderful people. God is a great God, a glorious Lord. And I'm glad to be here with you. My wife is back there. My daughter's around here somewhere. That wasn't my daughter. I mean, that my wife. I don't know where my daughter's at. Amen. She's hiding somewhere. Amen. But anyway, it's good to be here with you. As I prepared for today, I sort of thought, you know, what do I want to minister on? What would the Lord lay on my heart? And the Lord just sort of laid on my heart encouragement and comfort. And that's what I want to share with you today. The Assemblies of God, which we are part of, I don't know, outside it says First Assembly of God. We are part of the Assemblies of God, and it's one of the biggest Pentecostal churches or organizations in the world, all around the world. Matter of fact, across the ocean, the Assemblies of God is 10 times bigger than what it is in America. Because of growth and revival and a lot of cool things happening. So we are excited about the Assemblies of God. Now you say, well, you shouldn't be, just God himself. But it's cool to be a part of an organization, amen, that preaches the Word of God, knows the Word of God, shares the Word of God. And as I was thinking about today, how many has ever read the Pentecostal Evangel? Anybody Pentecostal Evangel? Okay, most of you have. If you don't, the Pentecostal Evangel was the Assemblies of God's publication that went out and, matter of fact, was handed out in church services every week. And they had all kinds of articles in it, very cool stuff in it. Well, they've now done away with the publishing of it and just put it online, so you actually have to go online to get it. But one of the things that was always printed on the Pentecostal Evangel is the scripture that I'm reading to you this morning. Because this is what the Assemblies of God was sort of founded on, if you will. It was what was the rock-solid bed of our denomination. And, of course, it's found in Zechariah. Most of you go, oh, yeah, I know that scripture. He's going to do Zechariah chapter 4, 6, and 7. And it says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. I'm going to get to verse 7 in a minute, but the scripture is telling us today that he has got everything under control. Amen? A few months ago, your pastor, let you all know that he's going to be resigning here in a little bit, retiring, if you will. I did that 2 years ago. Ouch. How many's retired? How many wish you were still working? Oh, my. Retiring and just going off, they pat you on the back, on the head, and send you off, and you're done for. You sit around at home looking at walls, you know. Well, I got this. Many of you know it, the 64 Impala that I have, the big 409 engine in it. It's a really cool thing. I had a little rip in my front driver's seat about this big. And I'm so desperate for work that I thought, you know what, I'm going to fix that rip. And so I got out there to fix that rip, and right now, well, I've just started putting it back together, but the whole interior is ripped out of my 64. One little rip and all of a sudden everything is ripped out because I love working. I love doing things. And so, matter of fact, I got my car in such a great shape that it wouldn't even turn over, wouldn't even get power to it. My son, which all of you know is sort of electronic guy, you know, whatever, he comes down yesterday, day before, and he said, let me look at it with you, Dad. And so he's looking around at my car, looks on the firewall by my engine, and a plug had just popped out. Plugged it in, boom, I thought, jeez. I have some real issues in life, amen. But the Assemblies of God for many, many, many years, and still to this day, use that portion of Scripture. And the reason they use that portion of Scripture is to make a statement. And the statement is that nothing good happens in the kingdom of God or in this world that we know of except that the Holy Spirit makes it happen. I have learned a long time ago, and I've pastored for about 40 years, some wonderful times right here with you all. But in all of those years I pastored, I've recognized that unless the Lord builds the house, we all labor in vain. We all depend upon the Lord to do amazing and wonderful things, and we sometimes struggle to think that we are the ones that can get this thing done. The children of Israel had been in captivity for many, 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 many years. They had just returned home. And as they were returning home, they started building their homes. They started building their houses and their town that they lived in, planting their crops. And Zechariah and Zerubbabel shows up and says, well, it's really cool that you have your houses built and all these things taking place, but we're missing something here. We're missing the house of God. And so the house of God was started being talked about. And in Zechariah chapter 4, it talks about this is how we're going to build the kingdom there in Israel. This is how we're going to take this temple and build it up. And so the Lord says it doesn't matter what you think, what you want to think, or what you believe. It is not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit that we're going to do the things that we need to do. So today we look at this portion of Scripture when God is not only concerned about the spiritual life of an individual, but the spiritual life of a church. How many believes the Lord is concerned about this church right here? I'm glad you say so. Now, God is concerned about all churches in this area around the world that claims Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But the fact of the matter is, God is concerned about this church. And it's been sort of funny because in Texas, of course, we went through the pandemic just like you all up here. And some people have decided because they got up for a year or so and could flip on the TV and, I can just watch it on the screen, you know, now. I don't need to go back to church. We've missed the point that God says, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together as a matter of some do. But so much more as you see the day approaching, that being the day of the Lord. And the Lord says there's no excuse for just going, I don't need the church anymore. The word of God showed Zerubbabel and Zechariah, we need to do something about the worship in your community. We need to have a place where we gather and we worship and we lift your name up. And so the temple was going to be the center of their worship. And so today the Lord starts on this portion of Scripture, and they start, if you read all the Scripture, matter of fact, Zechariah has a lot of really cool things. In Zechariah, it talks about Jesus coming on the donkey. It talks about a lot of different things as you go through. You ought to read Zechariah. You say, well, I've never read that book ever. Read it. It's fascinating to read this word. But the temple of God was the symbol of the spiritual life from God and them to God. But the funny thing is as soon as you say, we are going to do this, we're going to build the temple, there's these things called doubters. Anybody ever run across a doubter? Anybody here a doubter? Every one of us are doubters from time to time in our life. And so we hear the word of God come. Matter of fact, we did it down in Texas, and I'm sure you've heard it here. Well, I don't know if we can ever grow as a church again. I don't know if we can ever build. I don't know if we can ever feel. I don't know if we ever do. Doubters are everywhere. They're everywhere. And as soon as they started saying, you know, we're going to raise money for the temple. Matter of fact, they were told to go and grab some guys, evidently very rich guys, and grab their money. Let's get going here. And the doubters and the naysayers came out of the woodwork. We cannot do that. I want to tell you, I'm sort of tired because of this stupid thing called COVID-19 and all that kind of stuff. Do you realize that for the most part, it's in the past? I mean, people are still getting it. It's still dangerous. I realize that. But the problem is, it's sort of in the past. We're moving through that, and we need to start saying we can do something instead of we cannot do something. We need to start believing God that He can lift us up instead of us just wandering around in a wilderness. And we need to come to that place where we don't listen to the doubters, but we listen to God, which is telling us we can. I went back just a little bit, and I read about some authorities, some people that know something from years and years and years gone by. In 1840, it says anyone traveling at the speed of 30 miles an hour would surely suffocate. You couldn't get your breath. In 1878, electric lights are unworthy of serious consideration. Wow. How about 1901? No possible combination can be united into a particular machine which allows man to fly. These next two are from scientists. This foolish ideal of shooting at the moon is impossible. And then lastly, to harness the energy locked up in matter is impossible. God told the people, don't be afraid. It won't be by your human strength. It will not be by your power, your abilities, but we have to center in on something, and that is the Holy Spirit. Anybody know the Holy Spirit? He is the one that moves through this place this morning, meeting your needs. You said, oh, I thought that was Jesus. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit is here, and He moves from place to place and people to people, and He helps and He directs and He guides and He does, and everything that is needed is done through the Holy Spirit. I thought early on in my life as a pastor that I really had some stuff together. The superintendent, when Jackie and I first went into the ministry, sent us to a place called Lowell, Indiana. It's up around Gary, Hammond area. And it was a little burg, and whenever Jackie and I showed up, sometimes on Sunday morning, we would have nobody there. So I would ask Jackie, you don't hear my sermon? No. I have to live with you. I don't hear your sermon. And so we, you know, little by little, we would grow and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And there was all kinds of little oppositions or reasons why we can't do. But God is a marvelous God. And as He sends His Holy Spirit, He makes those things that we think are impossible, possible. And so as I've looked back on my life, I said, you know, I really was an idiot sometimes as I was just a young kid, because, boy, I thought, you know, through great preaching, through great this, through that, through leadership, and all of those things are necessary and good, but it is by the Holy Spirit that things are accomplished in our hearts and our lives. I don't know about all these people in this time frame we were talking about, but I'm sure there were some very intelligent people. There were some builders back there. There were some people that knew how to lay foundations. There was people that knew how to build bricks and build boards. But you come to a place, you say, we just can't do this. I want to tell you, and those of you that have been around me for years, whenever even I was here, you've heard me say this before. God wants to save souls more than you want to see souls saved. God wants to heal people more than we've ever thought about wanting to heal people. God wants to meet your need more than anyone else want it to happen. And so the Lord is waiting for us to simply come along and say, okay, I'm going to stop listening to critics. And sometimes the critic we're listening to is our own mind, our own heart, our own spirit that says, well, I don't know. I don't know what can happen. You know, it's sort of funny that all these years ago, 2,000 years ago, there was a place called Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. A place called Calvary. It was a little hill outside of Jerusalem where they took Jesus and hung him. And out of that little bitty place, that little thing that happened, it has infected and blessed and changed history as we know it. There's a place called the church that was formed in a place called the upper room where the power of the Spirit of God came in and met and baptized the people in the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, and they literally changed their world where they were at. How many would like to change your world? Well, it does take some effort on our parts. It takes some witnessing. It takes some stepping out. It takes some doing on our parts. But I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit jumps in and becomes a part of our life and our church, things become much easier. I would like to preach all day long whenever there's anointing. I want to go sit down somewhere when there's none. Do I need to sit down or can I keep preaching? Okay, keep going. Okay. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13 that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the littlest of seeds, but it grows and to be the biggest plant in the garden. That's what's happened to this church. That's what's happened to around the world. I know that these things, you know, Calvary and the church and the little bitty, I'm sure that the disciples never thought that around the world today, there are literally billions of believers. Billions. Yes, amen. And there's people being saved today all over the world. And if you would have told the disciples back at the time where they were ministering to a few hundred or even a few thousand, there is someday that God is going to bring about millions and billions of people to serve you, they would have said, I don't know if that's possible. Because we can only believe things that we sort of grab a hold of it ourselves. Can you imagine a carpenter? Seriously, a carpenter. What gives him the credentials, other than he was a son of God, to birth this thing that we call a church? Now, I'll just have to say, whenever you're talking about the change in leadership, you know, the pastor gives his announcement and, you know, things start taking place. And he said even last Sunday, you know, I only have a few more sermons to give to you and, you know, that I'm going to be moving on. Things happen to people in different ways. People that have been through this from time to time goes, well, okay, I hate that, but I can see it's okay. Though some of you, he's been here, what, 11, 12 years? And some of you have never known any other pastor but him. And you're going, what are we doing? You know, one of the things that, and I talked to Michael this morning. He retired last Wednesday. Now, Michael, I'm sure that whenever you retired, you didn't want to hear people say, dude, I'm glad to get rid of that guy. Finally, you're finally going to leave and leave room for someone else? As a pastor, whenever I, retired from down in Texas, I wanted somebody to say, oh, pastor, I don't know if we can make it without you. Could you just stay another couple years? You know, I don't know if anybody asked me that or not. I don't think so. Jim, did anybody, sometimes they just sort of put you out, you know? Yeah. One of the things I found out is that even in transitions, your pastor's going to be leaving in the next little while, and some of you are going, I don't know what to do. The board, I understand, is going, dude, where's all the resumes we're supposed to be having? We really don't have any resumes. Do you know that whenever your pastor and his wonderful wife got together, and they got together at their home, and you know, they've discussed this for a while. It wasn't just him getting up on that Sunday and saying, you know, we're going to make a change. But they got together in their homes in different places. You know what? I think we might probably need to do that. You know, I think we probably need to, you know, transition out and everything else. Do you realize there was somebody somewhere, some family somewhere, that God was tweaking their hearts, and they were saying the same thing? Oh, you know what? God, I feel a change in my spirit, my heart. Maybe something different is for us. God has not left you with nothing. God, you know, I don't care if you get a single resume from anywhere. God knows who's supposed to be here. Give the Lord a hand. God understands. So you see, matter of fact, it was sort of funny. Whenever we left Texas, of course you get up, you resign, they throw you a little party and blah, 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 and then you move on. And we appointed one of the board members to be the chairman of the board, and we appointed one of the board members to be the head of the search committee for pastors. And we thought, well, in a few months, maybe a few weeks, there'll be somebody in the pulpit. Well, it'd be great. A year. They were without a senior pastor for a year. Now they got an interim pastor that came in, done a really nice job, preached on Sundays for them, you know, kept everything sort of going that way. A year. And you know how disheartening it was for me to realize that the church went on? No pastor, and they're still doing okay. The board calls me occasionally, hey, what about this? You know, how about that? Well, you, this. Okay, yeah, thank you very much. But the church went on without John Dodd. Every once in a while, I'd slip away and cry in the closet, you know, because things happen without me around. Well, I want to tell you, as your pastor is transitioning, you need to love them, care about them, pray for them, encourage them, see that their needs are met. But I guarantee you today that there's somebody already waiting in the wings. And that's not to have anything negative about past, but God has somebody waiting in the wings to come in here and do an incredible job. How many desires that? Then we must start believing that that is going to happen. Oh, it's going to be an exciting. Every time I resigned, I don't know about Brother Jim here, Pastor Jim, I don't know, but every time I resigned somewhere, I tried to encourage people. There's somebody wonderful coming this way. There's someone almost as good as me. There's somebody coming, and they're going to bless you. I want to tell you, God did not wake up that morning that your pastor resigned and go, oh, no one gave me this memo. No one told me about this. Oh, God is never at a loss. He's never at a loss for anything. And he's up in heaven just relaxed. You know, on the seventh day, he sat down and he rested. He's still resting. He's up there going, this dude is going just like planned. Just as I wanted it to go, it's going that way. I would tell you that I would start getting excited. Now, don't get around your pastor and go, oh, I'm glad you're leaving me. No, don't do that. But I would get excited about what God has got planned for your future. The Lord has done amazing work here in this place, all around the world. The pastorates that I've had, I've thoroughly enjoyed them. And, you know, you retire and you move on, you do something different. But I want to tell you, God has always had his will done. And whenever you allow that to happen in your church, among your people, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The transition will go easier. The ability to look to the future with hope will go much, much better as you just simply say, Lord, you got this together. The church is a place of nourishment, or it should be. Amen? It should be, and I think Brother Gene and even the praise team talked about a little bit about people hurting and, you know, going through things. The church should be a shelter in the time of life storms. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of life storms out there. This is the center port. Now, again, there's tons of other churches around, and every one of them needs to be blessed. But many of you, if not all of you, are called by God to be here. And so as you are called to be here, then you need to believe that you are one of the people that are going to nourish somebody. You're going to be there to help somebody go through the storms of this life, and you're going to be a shelter for them. And so as you move through life, we must believe that God really is at work in His church. He is. I've heard people down through the years look around their towns and their areas, and, well, this church is growing, that church is growing, and all this kind of stuff. There's enough people, enough need for salvation that all churches can be blessed. Amen? And we just need to start believing that God wants to do this. In Matthew chapter 16, talking to Peter, on this rock, he had just told about the great things that the church is going to do. He says, I will build my church, and even the gates of hell. Even the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. That is big. You and I, we stand around and we try with our mental assent to figure things out. We try to, in our own skill, and there you need skill, you need your mental faculties and all these things. But I want to tell you, when you get a hold of God, when you get a hold of the things of God, when you get a hold of the Holy Spirit, He will do in you like no one else can do. There's a scripture that I told you I was going to get to the second part of it. They're talking about not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And he talks about this mighty mountain that is in front of Zerubbabel. Now, you say, well, what's the mountain? I don't know. We never really told. But it is the biggest problem, the biggest difficulty that they could have had at that point. The Lord says to them, this mountain that's in front of you, and again, you might have a mountain in front of you. The church might have a mountain in front of it. Our world might have a mountain in front of it. The Lord says, look for the biggest mountain you have. I'm going to lay it flat so that you can walk over. And that Zerubbabel will come out with the capstone. Now, I'm not a big builder. I've built some things in my life as a pastor, but not a big builder. I do recognize, though, that the capstone is whenever you set it on top, boom, the last stone set, and it's a symbol of it's finished. It's done. It's over with. I want you to recognize that the foundation had not been even set. There's been no excavation. There's not been any digging. And the word comes, again, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. The mighty mountain's going to be moved flat. And someday, this same guy that hasn't even put the first dig down is going to come out with a capstone and put the finishing touch on it. It wasn't something that was in the works. And, oh, well, I don't know if it's going to happen. God don't know whether if he has the manpower, the money to do it. He already prophesied before they ever started that it was going to be finished. How many needs a capstone in your life? A capstone in your church? A capstone in our communities? Now, there's going to be a couple capstones in the future. One of them is going to be whenever we hear that trumpet call of God, and we get snatched out of it. How many's waiting for that? get snatched out of this place. That is a capstone to our life as we enter into heaven to live forever and ever and ever. At the end of this age, whenever the 1,000 years have come and gone, and Jesus is now ruling and reigning over everything, heaven and earth shall be destroyed, and a new heaven, new earth will be put in place. Again, another capstone. God has promised capstones down through our lives. Here. But Lord, I haven't even started. Doesn't matter. I already got the capstone ready. But we haven't put any foundation. Capstone's already there. But we haven't found our replacement pastor. Capstone's already there. Lord, I don't know where we're going to go from here. Capstone's already there. And all we have to do is say, Lord, this is an amazing, amazing thing. And we're going to trust you. We're going to believe you to do what you need to do. Let me just give you a few quick things before we close this morning. These are just little thoughts that I had. God will give you the ability to get things done that is outside your abilities, which is for me all the time. Come on. I got great wisdom, guidance, and direction. I'm a man of God. All right. I need God. I need His presence. God gives spiritual aid so many times that it's even concealed from the observer or the Christian even. And you only know about it later. You realize it later. Jackie and I got a prophecy many, 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 many years ago. And I remember I was down in Texas. I was standing in the fellowship hall. And one of the part of the prophecies that I was going to go to the south and go to the west. That sounded stupid. How are you supposed to go to the south and then to the west? And I'm down in the fellowship hall, and I was talking to one of the board members down there. I said, the warm weather, it was snowing up here, I think. The warm weather, it's wonderful to be in the south. And he says, oh, no, you're not in the south, you're in the southwest. And instantly, the Spirit of the Lord said, I told you so. Sometimes the Lord does things that we go, what's going on? What's happening? How is this going to work out for your glory, for your will, for your purpose? And then we just simply have to come and realize that some of these things are hidden from our observation. That's why I can tell you today that God is at work right now to find you the next pastor. That God is at work right now, whether you board members have a single resume or not, God is in the business of doing His job. He never fails. He's never late, although I would like to argue with him about that. How many thinks God's late occasionally? Oh, thank you. I'm not the only one here. God, you're late and you're not doing what you're supposed to do. No, I'm never late, and I always do what I'm supposed to do. So even though you can't see, that's why sometimes, how many's got a discerning of spirit sometimes? Where you walk into a place or into a situation and you can feel, you can't see, but you can feel the Lord doing something. That is a marvelous, wonderful thing to happen. And so we get to God and say, God, reveal to us your will. And if you're not, I'll trust you anyway. And I like it that God does things that reveal to us that He's the one that did it. I mean, we all love to have credit. Come on. We all love to have credit. Oh, look what I've done. That's human nature. But the fact of the matter is, whenever God does something that is so incredible that we could not have thought about it, we could not have accomplished it, we could not have brought it to pass, and all that we can say is, it was God. What a wonderful thing to say. It is going to happen as the Lord puts the capstone as the months go by here. The capstone's already picked up. Capstone's already in the Lord's hand. Transition's coming. And we're going, oh, woe is us. What in the world? Here comes the capstone. Boom. And we go, wow. What in the world just happened? The Lord just happened. I would encourage you not to despise the day of small things, because they're a lot of times big things. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's going to be done. It's over with. Put the period there. Boom, done. And if we would come to that place in our lives that we trust that, we believe that, God is going to work on some really, really cool things. As I said to you as we were ministering this message, pray for your pastor, pray for your pastor's wife as they transition, because it's not an altogether fun thing to do. Sometimes if you have somewhere great to go, it's fun. But no, sometimes you don't, and you have to figure out where to go. Pray for them, encourage them, love them. But also anticipate that God is, I use the word scurrying around. I don't think he scurries. The Lord is in heaven going, okay, here we go. Here, watch this. Watch this, people. Watch this. And he puts things in place. And we go, wow, amazing, amazing. If I could take my liberty this morning just a little bit, I would love for the board members to come. Just join us right here in the middle, if you will. They didn't ask me to do this. The pastor didn't ask me to do this. He's gone. I did it. So. Right here in the middle, brothers. I want some people that want to be a blessing to them just to stand up right now, come down here and gather around these guys. We're going to pray for them. We're going to pray that God gives them insight, wisdom, guidance, direction. Come on, people, just gather around. Amen. Lay hands on them right now. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy, your grace, your love. Thank you, Lord God, that you're here today to have your will, your way done. Father, we pray for our board members, Lord God, that carry sometimes a very heavy time, a very heavy load upon them. Father, let them rest in you. Lord God, let them, Lord God, be at ease, Lord God, that you have got this in control. That, Lord God, even with naysayers saying things maybe to them, Lord God, that's not the end of the conversation. But, Lord God, you are the end of the conversation. Lord God, it is you, Lord God, that touches our hearts and our lives. Lord God, now give them wisdom, guidance, direction, patience, hope, Lord God, strength as they go through this time. Lord God, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your matchless and your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. I'd like to close this morning, and I know that we've been talking about church issues, we've been talking about transition and the Lord doing that, but you might be here today, and you have a mountain in your pathway. I just want you to either raise your hand or stand or come down here. Come on down here. You have a deal in your life that you just really want God to lay the mountain out for you and to raise something up for you that's going to give you hope. Anybody, we have one coming. Anybody else? We need some prayer people again. Yeah, come on. Anyone else, you say, I have a mountain that I need to trust God that he's going to meet. Amen. We need some prayer people right over here. Brother Larry, you're just sort of standing there. You can come on over here. It's okay. Let's ask God just to touch hearts and light, touch lives this morning. Father, again, Lord, we love you. And Lord God, sometimes we face mountains as a church, Lord God, as a people. But Lord God, sometimes we face mountains just as individuals. Things that stand in front of us. And we say, Lord, I don't know how to get around it. I don't know how to get over it. But Lord God, you can make a way. You can make a way where no one else can make it. Now, Father, these that have needs this morning, no matter what it is, Lord God, you would open up the doors. You would take this mountain and make it flat. And Lord God, you let them walk across it, Lord God, blessed by you. Lord God, do a marvelous work that only you can do. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your name. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're marvelous, God. Glorious, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Meet the needs, people. Oh, meet the needs of the people, Lord. Lord God, touch our pastors, Lord God, as they rest. Lord God, give them encouragement and blessings. Lift them up. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. Give them a bright and wonderful future, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're a great God, a glorious Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else this morning, you have a need before we get ready to close the service? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord. Give you praise, Lord. Give you praise, Lord. Just going to give it a few more moments. Thank you, Jesus. Bless, Lord God. Bless, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate you this morning, hearing the Word of God, and putting up with me. It's been good to be here with you. Preach the word. Tomorrow's a holiday. We hope and we pray that each and every one of you have a great holiday filled with family, maybe fun, friends. Amen. As they continue to pray around the altar, you're going to be free to go if you need to go. Tell somebody you love them. I love saying that whenever I was pastoring here. Give somebody a handshake, a hug around the neck. It's a wonderful thing to do. Bless you all. God bless you. You're dismissed.